Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are pleased to welcome back Matt Adams from the Golf Channel and Fairways of Life Radio. Matt, you're our only, to this point, repeat guest since I started working from home. How about that?
It's good to be with you, then. How are you, Eddie?
I'm good. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes this morning. So what was your reaction? What did you think about the week?
I absolutely loved it. I know there was a lot of trepidation, a lot of questions being asked of what it would be like to have a sporting event with no fans there. But I was never really that concerned about it, because the nature of golf is such that when you have a camera frame and you train onto a player and you're framing them up to hit a shot, you don't always see a lot of the gallery or the fans anyway. You have a head-on shot of them hitting the shot. Normally the camera follows the ball through the air, and then it tries to follow it in the proximity to the hole. Unlike, say, you know, basketball, where literally every single camera angle is draped by a painted backdrop of human beings. In this case, we didn't have that. So we saw the golf course. It was green and lush and beautiful as it is, and all said and done, for those of us sitting at home and having golf back at its highest tier, I think it was worth the trade-off. I think it's certainly fun having fans on site, but all told and by every measure, I think it was a massive, massive success.
So Jay Monahan says the same thing. He called it a phenomenal start to our return. What made it phenomenal?
I think a number of things made it phenomenal. One is that you're going to get the official record ratings as the days progress, not only for CBS on the network side, but also on Thursday, Friday, and early coverage for us on Golf Channel, and then also for PGA Tour Entertainment, which is part of the PGA Tour itself, is also a division of on their media side, and they have what they call PGA Tour Live. So they're doing early coverage that was starting at 7:45 Eastern each day last week. So that's also going to have record numbers. So one, it shows you that there's an appetite out there for golf. Two, there's an appetite out there for sport, and they were able to satisfy that appetite. So that's an unqualified success from that standpoint. The other side of it is what happened competitively. You hope that the best players in the world will show up and will contend and will be a part of the mix. Well, Amy, this was basically the popular table at high school. They were virtually all there. These were all the boys next door, save for Bryson DeChambeau, who was checking tickets at the door. I mean, this was a huge group. Two Lettermen were missing, granted, that they didn't play well enough to be there, and that was Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson, and Ricky Fowler missed the cut, too. That's the way it goes with those. But other than that, it was the popular table. Now, Rory didn't have a great final round, but we had a great final round in that we ended up going to a playoff. Colin Morikawa, one of the new young guns on tour, only 23 years old. But then you look at a veteran, really, in Daniel Berger, already a two-time winner on tour. He's only 26, and he broke through again, and it was great. Actually, last week on Morning Drive, they said, who's your dark horse to win? I said, Daniel Berger. And they all looked at me and laughed. So what are you talking about, Daniel Berger? But he had a run coming into this in which he tied ninth at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, tied fifth at the 18th Pebble Beach, tied fourth at the Honda Classic. He had been injured. It was an injury he sustained in 18 at the Travelers Championship. It was actually an injury to his finger, but he thinks because of the way he was compensating his swing, it moved up into his wrist. And it took him the last year and a half to heal, to get over that. He tried to come back. It was too soon. It got worse. So now he's okay. Now he's playing, obviously, with his full vigor again, and he ends up coming away with the victories. And so to go into a playoff with the first event back, I mean, you couldn't script it better than if Tiger Woods himself was playing out there and say he went into a playoff with Phil Mickelson or Rory McIlroy or somebody. That's the only way I could see it have done better than what it actually did.
Matt Adams from the Golf Channel and Fairways of Life Radio with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. And I'm glad you said that, because I was going to set you up, put the ball on a tee and let you hit it out of the park by asking you about your prediction of Daniel Berger. But here's my question, though, Matt. These guys have been off the golf course in competitive fashion for 3 months. Why did you think he was going to be able to carry it over?
One, because I thought he would have benefited from the time off to get even stronger. He clearly had his game back on pace with the numbers that I just gave you for the finishes that Daniel Berger had. Daniel Berger's a fighter. His father at one time was a top 10 tennis player in the world. And he's got this, he's from South Florida, he's got this kind of grittiness to him. He's part of that famed high school class of 2011 that includes Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth and, ironically, Xander Schauffele, who was in the mix until a late double bogey on 17, or a bogey on 17, I beg your pardon, and then he came within 3 inches of a birdie at 18 to make the playoff. So he's part of that class. In a lot of ways, he was kind of a forgotten member of that class. He's got a quirky swing that is all his own. But, you know, a lot of the vets, especially the Lee Trevinos of the world who had his own quirky swing, will tell you, watch out for the guy with a quirky swing, because normally that's a guy who truly owns his golf swing. And Daniel Berger does. He owns his golf swing. He's got great confidence in himself. And like I said, he's kind of got this kind of street vibe about him, this grittiness about him, that he's not there just for the show. He's not there just for the flash. He's there to compete, and he wants to slice your throat. So that's why I had the feeling that he would perform well this week, and I thought it'd be a good venue for him, because he's a good ball striker when he's on form, and he was on form.
The PGA Tour tested 487 people for the virus. All the tests came back negative, which I think is incredible. But now they leave that Fort Worth bubble-ish. They weren't necessarily sequestered, but they leave that area and they move on. What's the process now? I'd heard something about them all chartering to the next event. I mean, what happens at this point?
It's not all of them, but the tour would love to see it be all of them. It's a high percentage of the players and the caddies that are on this private jet. The tour is charging them for it. I think it's $300 for a player to get on the plane, and it's $600 for a player to get on a plane and $300 for their caddy. And I think they're assuming the player's going to pick up the tab for both of them. But what happens is before they're even allowed on the plane, because the tests that they have now come back very quickly. So everybody that was planned in that charter, whether you made the cut or not, Amy, you committed for that charter. So you were hanging around in Fort Worth for a couple of days. But everybody gets tested on Saturday to make sure that they're clean to get on the plane this morning. And then that plane goes to the next tour event. So the testing has been rigorous. It was encouraging, obviously, that no one was tested positive for the coronavirus. But on the other side of it, in fairness and balance this conversation, the Korn Ferry Tour, which is the AAA of the PGA Tour, was played in Ponte Vedra Beach, and they had three caddies and a player that tested positive, but they were able to catch them through the safety net, which is why they've done these levels of caution. They caught them in the safety net before they even left their houses.
Oh, good.
So when they were tested at home, the test came back and they said, don't show up. You've got the coronavirus, sequester and get healthy. And if you need help, you tell us. So the system, from that standpoint, it's very encouraging. The system is working. And what I think is really interesting about it is that Jay Monahan, as you mentioned, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, he said that he's in constant contact with other sports leagues and he expects a lot of phone calls to be made early this week. Isn't that interesting that it's becoming a template?
Right. It's a litmus test. And in every sport and every event that returns, the other commissioners, the other sports are watching to see what works and what's necessary. Matt Adams with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. The question has been coming. I've had a phone call about it even. Where and when will we see Tiger Woods, Matt?
You know, that's always a good question. Where and when will we see Tiger Woods? That could be a title of a book, to tell you the truth. We thought we were going to see him this week at the RBC Heritage, which is up at Hilton Head. The reason why is, and this is kind of the world of you know, reading shadows on the cave walls, that is Tiger Woods. His huge yacht left its dock in Florida and through Manifest was destined for Hilton Head. So everyone thought, okay, Tiger's massive yacht is going. Lots of times when he's someplace that's near the water, he stays on his own yacht. He did it at the U.S. Open when it was on Long Island, in fact. And so his boat was on its way to Hilton Head. They figured, sure, he's going to play, and he'll just hang out on his yacht. And no, the deadline was 5 p.m. on Friday, and it came and went, and there was no Tiger Woods on there. The one place that we do know with great certainty that he's going to play will be at the Memorial. Now, what's interesting is that when the John Deere Classic canceled, the tour said, gee, what are we going to do? In the light of caution, they said, where are we going to go? What event are we going to fill that week with? They decided to have a tournament, a full-on PGA Tour tournament at Muirfield Village the week before the Memorial. So you're going to have this tournament at Muirfield Village, then the Memorial. So the first tournament will not have a gallery there. The second one, the governor of Ohio is allowing them to have fans on site, but it has to be tightly structured, and it's going to be, you know, reduced numbers, etc. So whether Tiger plays in the lead-up event is the big question to me. I'm very confident he's going to play in the main card, but I have a pretty good feeling if there's no fans on site, it's the same tournament that you're going to be playing. Why not go out there, even if you call it a test run, but it isn't a test run. It's a full-fledged PGA Tour event. But why not play both? So I think that we could get a dose of a couple of weeks of Tiger Woods if I was guessing.
Interesting. Also interesting, and it, as you point out, they're all really, I don't want to say making it up as they go, but they're trying to figure it out because there's no blueprint, so it's a trial by error almost. You can find Matt on Twitter at Matt Adams, F-O-L, Fairways of Life, and his show is Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock Eastern, also on demand whenever you need it on fairwaysoflife.com, plus the Golf Channel. Matt, it's always good to have you. I'm glad that you're doing well. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Always a pleasure, Amy. See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.